The first nine verses of Matthew chapter 17 record for us what has come to be known as the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. The word transfigured, which appears in verse 2, simply means to be changed. The Lord Jesus Christ took three of his disciples. They are sometimes referred to as the inner circle of the apostles, Peter and the two brothers, James and John. He took those three apostles and he took them up an unnamed mountain in Israel. And on that mountain, he was transfigured into his glory. He was changed before them, and his face did shine, verse 2 says, as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. He was changed into his glory. I believe that it was the desire of the Savior to show those disciples something of his glory before he suffered, before he died, and before he was laid in the tomb. Throughout the 3.5 years of his public ministry, the disciples, largely speaking, had only viewed Christ in his lowly state of humiliation. Apart from the miracles, which showed something of the glory of Christ and the power of Christ and the majesty of Christ, largely speaking, they viewed the Savior in a state of humiliation. He had become a man. He had lived and dwelt among men. He was despised and he was rejected. He was questioned and he was ridiculed. He was known as the carpenter's son. And as they watched him, yes, they heard him preach and they believed in him. But up until now, largely speaking, they had viewed him in a state of humiliation. And as his sufferings and his humiliation were about to intensify and increase and climax at the cross, the Lord separated three of those men. He drew them up that mountain. The Bible tells us just for a little moment on that mountain, he was changed from a state of humiliation and he showed them something of his glory and his majesty and his power as he was changed before them. I believe he did it to encourage them and to strengthen them as his death drew nigh. Therefore, the passage has much to teach us in regard to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. However, I believe that from this little event, this very important event in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is another message from this event or this portion of Scripture which we should not overlook. You see, as Peter, James, and John accompanied the Lord Jesus up that mountainside, and as they viewed him being transfigured into his glory, I believe that they were given a glimpse of what heaven is really like. You see, heaven is a place where the glory of the Lord is revealed in all its fullness. And there upon the mountainside, the Lord Jesus Christ was changed into his glory. Heaven is a place where this believing saints of God freely commune and have intercourse with the Lord Jesus Christ. They talk with him. They commune with him. They speak to him. He leads them in the way. And there we see on the mountainside where Moses and Elijah, they freely talk with him. They speak to him. They commune with him. They talk with him on the mountainside. Yes, heaven is a place where the glory of Christ is fully revealed. Heaven is a place where the saints freely commune with the Lord. And heaven is a place where Christ is worshipped. And he is the center of all worship. In Revelation 7 and 9, we're given the vision of where the saints from every tribe and tongue and nation, they fall down before him and they cry, "Worthy is the Lamb." And there on the mountainside, Peter, he opened his mouth and he said foolishly, "Let us build three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Jesus." And the voice of the Father came from heaven and rebuked Peter and said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." In other words, they were to worship Christ and him only. And there the Lord was to be the center of all devotion and worship and honor and glory. And I say to you this evening, as the Lord Jesus took Peter, James and John up that mountainside and he was changed into his glory, Peter, James and John had a little glimpse of heaven there on earth. What a blessing it was. It was an experience they never forgot. Peter and John both referred to it in the epistles they wrote later in the New Testament. We heard his act. We saw his excellent glory. And we heard the voice of the Father there on the mount. They never forgot it. They had a glimpse of heaven. There, upon that mount that has come to be known as the Mount of Transfiguration. Tonight I want us to get just a little glimpse of heaven in this meeting. I trust and pray that if you're not on the way to heaven, if you're not a Christian, if you've never been saved by God's grace, then you can start on that road tonight and you will get right with God and make Christ your Savior. I really want to highlight verse 3. And use it as a text this evening. It says, "And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with them." This verse, first of all, shows us the witness of heaven. The words of verse 3 witness or testify to a very simple gospel fact. And the witness of heaven to earth is that there is life after death. There is life beyond the grave. It was Moses and it was Elias, or Elijah as we know him, his Old Testament name. Moses and Elijah who appeared unto them, that is the Lord Jesus, and to Peter, James and John. And they were talking with the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, there upon the Mount of Transfiguration. By the time the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, was manifested in the flesh and lived on earth, Moses had been dead for some 1500 years. And we read of his funeral or his burial in the book of Deuteronomy. There was no one other than the Lord at that funeral service. And we read in Deuteronomy 34, verse 5 and 6, "So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab." You remember how he wasn't permitted to enter into the promised land. But he viewed it from afar and he saw the vision overlooking the promised inheritance for Israel. And so he died in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. And then listen to this. It says, "And he," that is the Lord, "he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab." The Lord took the body of Moses and he buried it there in a valley in the land of Moab. And Moses was dead. He lived to 120 years of age. But he died and he was buried. Then when we think of Elijah, he was one of two men who never died. Only two men in the Bible who never died. Elijah and Enoch. Enoch was translated. And they sent out a search party for him and they couldn't find him because God had translated him straight to heaven. And then Elijah, whenever his ministry was done, Elisha accompanied him across Jordan. And there came down the chariot of fire. And the whirlwind took him up into heaven. And the sons of the prophets, they went out to see if they could find him. And they couldn't find him. Elisha, of course, told them they could go and search, but they wouldn't find him. Approximately 1,000 years had passed from Elijah going up into heaven in the whirlwind. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was on the earth, Moses' body laid in the ground had returned to dust. Elijah had gone up into heaven. He left this earth. And yet in the Mount of Transfiguration, they come down from heaven and they talk with Jesus, death is not the end. 120 years Moses had on this earth. 1400 years he had with the Lord in heaven. And he came down to talk to him in the days of his flesh. Men and women, the atheist will tell us the grave is the end. And it brings to an end our existence. The scientist will tell us there is no evidence that there is life beyond the grave. The heretic will say that when you die, your soul will sleep in death with the body and you will be in an unconscious state until the resurrection. But Moses and Elijah are testimony and they prove that there is life immediately beyond the grave. And surely that tells us this. That if Moses had 120 years on earth, and then he had all that time in the world to come, doesn't it teach us the importance of preparing for eternity? This life is so short. Eternity is so long. And we must prepare for the world that is to come. We must prepare to meet the Lord. But I believe there is another witness. Not only does this verse witness to the fact there is life beyond the grave, but this incident of Moses and Elijah appearing to Peter, James and John also gives us witness of the glory the saints enjoy when their life on earth is finished. Turn over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, because there Luke records the same incident and he tells us a little something about Moses and Elijah that isn't in Matthew's account. Luke chapter 9, verse 30 and 31, and it tells us, and behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias. It tells us of Moses and Elias who appeared in glory. The witness of heaven to Peter, James and John was not only that Moses and Elijah were alive and well, though they had departed this life many centuries before, but they were in a state of glory. The Christian, when they depart this life, enters into the glory of the Lord. We read about it in John chapter 17, that great high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus for all his people throughout all ages. And at the close of that prayer, I believe it's verse 24. He said, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And those that die in Christ, trusting in Him for the salvation of their soul, they enter into the glory of heaven. They behold the glory of Christ. He died and He conquered sin. He conquered sorrow. He conquered death. And He lives forever gloriously. Isn't that why the book of Revelation in the chapter 22 tells us the former things have passed away? We read that in the New Jerusalem, in the heavenly city, there's no more curse. The curse of sin can never enter into heaven. There's no more death. There's no more separation. The former things have passed away. And that's what it means to be in glory, to appear in glory. They appeared having triumphed over the curse of sin and death and all that it brings. The witness of heaven to those on earth is that there's life beyond the grave, and the child of God who dies in Christ will be in glory and will triumph and conquer over the curse of sin. What a blessing that is. What a tremendous place heaven is. I ask you tonight, are you on the way to heaven? The witness of heaven. There's life beyond the grave. The saints appear in glory. But then, secondly, I want you to consider the wonder of heaven. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias. And if you take time to ponder verse 3, I believe that it sets forth something of the wonder of heaven, for it says, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. And the point I would drive home to your heart is this, that Peter, James and John had no difficulty recognizing the two men who appeared in their glory with Christ. They knew that it was Moses and Elijah. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Moses' body was in the grave. He appeared in his soul or his spirit. And yet Peter and James and John saw them and knew them and could identify them. Oh, the question has often been asked, will we know one another in heaven? What is it like in the disembodied state? And my friends, I can't give you a specific definition of what the disembodied state will be like, what you will look like. But what I can say is this, from the Holy Scriptures, Peter, James and John knew, there's Moses. He's died. His body's in the grave. His flesh and his blood and his bones have returned to dust. But that's Moses. He's in his soul, his spirit, but they could see him and they identified him. And I'm saying to you that between death and the resurrection, the saints know one another and they can commune with one another and they can speak to one another. I don't know what form Moses took, but I know this. He was identified by Peter. Elijah may be a little different, for he went up to heaven in his body. But I'm saying to you, the saints in glory, they recognize one another. What does a soul look like? I can't answer that. But I can say we'll recognize one another in heaven when we get there. Can we show you another scripture where it is very evident that we will know one another in the intermediate state and in heaven? Well, you turn over to Luke 16. And the Lord Jesus told that story about the rich man and about Lazarus. And what a story this is. It's a story of tragedy for the rich man. It's a story of triumph for Lazarus. The rich man opened up his eyes being in hell. Verse 23 tells us that of Luke 16. Lazarus was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And look at verse 23 of Luke 16. And in hell, he that is the rich man lift up his eyes, being in torments. And it tells us, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. He knew it was Abraham. This is a unique story. This is something that, we can hardly grasp. But there, in hell, the rich man, he could see into the paradise of God. And he saw Abraham. And he knew it was Abraham. No one had to tell him. Abraham lived hundreds of years before he did. Just as Moses had lived hundreds of years before Peter, James and John. And yet, this man in hell, he sees into the paradise of God. And he sees Abraham. And he knows it's Abraham. Abraham had died and he was buried in the cave of Machpelah. But yet, this rich man could see and identify and know, there's Abraham. And then, there's Lazarus. There's the man that sat at the gate of my house. And in all its grandeur, and in all its glory, and now the dogs came and they licked his sores, and he ate the crumbs, and he was a beggar. That's the man that I knew. There he is. He's in heaven. He's in paradise. I know him. And he can identify him. And he knows who it is. Oh, what a wonder and what a blessing it is to know that we will know one another in heaven. But this text reveals another wonder from heaven. This passage, not only will we know one another in heaven, but it presents the fact that the saints of God will be in perfection in heaven. You see, if you contrast Moses and Elijah with Peter, James and John, you get a wonderful contrast. If you look at verse 3, you will see that they were talking with Christ. What were they talking about? Well, Luke chapter 9 tells us that they were talking about his decease. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 31, it tells us, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Moses and Elijah, they talk about the death of Christ with Christ. The death of Christ is the central theme of conversation in heaven, because it's the reason why every saint will be there. And they talked with perfect liberty. But then Peter, he decided to join the conversation. And he said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. And there was nothing wrong with that. But then he said, if thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, verse 5, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice out of the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. God the Father spoke in response to Peter. Peter joined the conversation. And God the Father spoke to rebuke Peter. Do you see the difference? Moses and Elijah talk freely about the death of Christ and they're not rebuked. They're speaking in perfect knowledge of the death of Christ. But when Peter, who was still in his state on this earth, he was a sinner saved by grace, but he was not perfect. The saints of God on earth are not perfect. And when he spoke an error. He wanted to build a tabernacle for Jesus, Moses and Elijah. And the Father says, no, Christ shall have all the preeminence. He shall have all the glory. Moses and Elijah were in perfection. But Peter was still in a state of imperfection. And then you'll see something else. When God the Father spoke, do you see that Peter and James and John were in fear, verse 6, when the disciples, that's all three of them, they heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. We don't read of Moses and Elijah being in fear. But when Peter, James and John, they heard the voice of the Father, they were fearful. Do you see that the wonder of heaven is this? That when the souls of God's people depart this life and enter into heaven, they enter into the state that Paul described in the book of Hebrews, the spirits of just men made perfect. They have perfect knowledge of Christ. They have no fear. The fear is gone. Perfect liberty in the presence of the Lord. Heaven is not only a place of peace, it is a place of perfection. And when we all get to heaven, those of us who are saved, we will enter into that state. Our spirits will be made perfect in holiness. And we shall join with the Lord in that state forever and ever. Isn't it a wonder that an old sinner, depraved in sin, can be saved by grace in this life? And perfected in holiness in the world to come, in the glory land of heaven. Oh, what a day that will be. We can sing with a hymn writer, oh, that will be glory for me. When we enter into heaven in perfection, glory for me, glory for me. When by His grace I shall look on His face, that will be glory. It will be glory for me. Can I just say a wee word to anyone who is not saved? You're not a Christian. When Peter heard the voice of God the Father, he was fearful. And he was saved. But the Bible tells us of a day in Revelation chapter 6. Whenever God will speak in judgment, and the kings and the chief men and the captains of this world, when they hear the voice of God and they view Christ the Lamb upon the throne, they will fear and they will call on the rocks and the mountains to cover them and hide them from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. To meet God in your sin is a fearful thing. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And that's why tonight I want to close with this thought. We have considered the witness of heaven. There's life beyond the grave. We've considered the wonder of heaven. We'll know one another there. And we will appear in perfection in that place. But I want to close by speaking just briefly on the way to heaven. If you consider verse 3, surely we have to ask ourselves the question. When we read those words, behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. How did Moses and Elijah come to be in heaven at the end of their lives? They came down out of heaven to meet with Christ and to speak of His decease. How did they come to be there? How did they get to heaven? You consider the life of Moses. There's one event that stands out more than any other. And it's that event that is recorded in Exodus chapter 12. And it's the night of the Passover. The Lord said, take the lamb from the flock. Must be a lamb without blemish and without spot. Separate it for a number of days. And on the Passover night, slay the lamb by shedding its blood. Take the blood and sprinkle it upon the doorposts of your home. Roast the lamb in the fire and eat of it that night. Let nothing remain until the morning. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The death angel will not come to the homes of those who have the blood of the lamb upon the doorposts. The outstanding event in Moses' life was the Passover, and it points to the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. When you consider the life of Elijah, there's one event that stands out more than any other. And it's that event on Mount Carmel when he challenged the prophets of Baal. And he said, build an altar and put it upon it the bullock. And I'll build an altar of stone and I'll put upon it the animal. And I will pray and you pray. And the God that answers by fire, he shall be the God. And Elijah, he dug a trench about that altar. He put the sacrifice upon it. He had it drenched in water. And at the time of the evening sacrifice, he knelt before the altar and he prayed. And God sent fire down from heaven upon the altar. And the animal was consumed. And the stones were consumed. And the water was consumed. And it was testimony to the fact, God of heaven is the God of sacrifice. And the only way that you can be right with God, the only way that you can have your sins forgiven, is on the basis of a blood sacrifice for sins. And in the life of Moses and in the life of Elijah, that testimony is held forth. If you want to be right with God, if you want your sins forgiven, if you want a place in heaven, the place of many mansions, then you can only enter in through faith in the blood sacrifice of the Lamb of God. I want to close with this thought. You remember this morning I described very briefly the burnt offering in the course of the sermon. When the burnt sacrifice was brought into the tabernacle or the temple, the Israelite, before the sacrifice was consumed, he had to place his hand on the head of the sacrifice. And it was testimony that he was leaning on the sacrifice. He was trusting and believing that the sacrifice was dying in his room and in his stead, and that he would live because the sacrifice had died. My friends, it's not enough to know about the sacrifice of Christ. It's not enough to know that Jesus is the Paschal Lamb who shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins. You've got to have that experience where you lean and you trust on Jesus. You call upon him. And you place your faith and your trust in him to remove your sin. Take it away. Take your guilt away. Make you right with God. Have you placed your faith? Have you leaned upon the sacrifice of Christ? That's what Moses did. That's what Elijah did. That's why they entered into heaven when their life was over. That's why they appeared in glory to Christ. That's why after thousands of years, they're still in heaven. Are you on the way to heaven? May the Lord be pleased to bring you to glory. May you put your faith and trust in him.